Hello, everyone. It's time for the Easy Organic Gardener. This is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry, mom, composter, biocontrol specialist, horticulturalist, worm farmer, entrepreneur, and Dr. Bug Lady. It's a pleasure to be with you, and my guest this hour is the acclaimed Dr. Rafe Segerin, who's especially known for inspiring his audiences. So looking forward to being inspired this hour. Before I ask him to join me, though, I would like to remind you that if you have a question for Rafe or myself during the live broadcast, you can call 877-300 877-300-7645. When you call during this hour, you receive a free $25 Arbico Organics gift certificate that you can use to purchase any of Arbico Organics' natural products for your organic home, garden, farm, and pet. And if you're listening to a rebroadcast and have a question you would like to have answered, you can send me an email at drbuglady@arbico.com. That's drbuglady at Arbico.com, A-R-B as in boy, I-C-O.com. You're always welcome to call Arbico Organics during our business hours, and one of our specialists will be glad to help you out. The phone number to call there is 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-SOS-BUGS. Be sure to go online to order your free Arbico Organics catalog and check out the Arbico Organics Facebook page. We love it when you like us, and you can follow me at Dr. Bug Lady on Twitter. Now I'm going to tell you all about my guest. Dr. Rafe Segerin is an ecologist, writer, artist, and expert on adaptation. A recipient of the Guggenheim Fellowship, Dr. Segerin consults with organizations from American Red Cross to the U.S. Department of Defense to marketing executives from the world's largest corporations on how they can unleash the natural power of adaptability to survive and thrive in an unpredictable world. His innovative and interdisciplinary research has been published in the leading peer-reviewed journals in science, environmental studies, law, and international affairs, as well as in popular magazines and newspapers. Dr. Segerin has lectured and held research positions at the world's top universities, including Stanford, Duke, UCLA, and University of Arizona. He served as an American Association for the Advancement of Science Congressional Science Fellow in the office of the U.S. Representative Hilda Solis. His two recent books are Learning from the Octopus, How Secrets from Nature Can Help Us Fight Terrorism, Natural Disasters, and Disease, and Observation and Ecology, Broadening the Scope of Science to Understand a Complex World. Rafe lives right here in my hometown of Tucson, Arizona, with his family, and he's an organic gardener. He also has chickens, and now he's my guest on the Easy Organic Gardener. Welcome to the Easy Organic Gardener, Rafe. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to introduce Rafe to come and join me right now on the Easy Organic Gardener. Hi, Rafe. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you? Good, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. I tell you, I was just, as I learn more and more about you, I'm delighted to have you on the show. It would seem like your topic, adaptation, might not really cross over to gardening, but the more I think about it, my goodness, it's absolutely all about adaptation. So thank you, because I think we're going to have a lot of fun today on this during this hour. Tell us a little bit about what was it that catalyzed you to get so excited about nature? I mean, it's not everybody that gets that excited about it. What was it? Was it something as a child or something you studied? Or what was it? Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I'm a marine biologist now, and I think most biologists I know had very formative experiences with nature as young children. For me, it was spending time as a child in Cape Cod Bay, playing with hermit crabs and exploring the tidal flats, and so it's not really a surprise that I ended up as a marine biologist, because those were absolutely the most important memories I had, that time I spent on the coast as a child.
And it's really true that our childhood does influence. I know a lot of our other guests, when we talk to them, that if their topic is particularly about growing, they'll talk about how their grandparents influenced them and how they helped them garden and grow. And so that really inspired them. And it just sort of stuck with them so that years later they're still doing it. So that's a great story. And I can just imagine seeing you crawling around there, digging around and for all the treasures.
Absolutely.
And let's talk a little bit about, you know, when did you begin to understand this connection that you talk about in your books between how nature adapts to change versus it's always in resistance to change? We are always adapting.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I have been a biologist for years, but it wasn't until I really left my comfort zone, and I talk about how adaptation is about leaving or being forced from your comfort zone. For me, my comfort zone was always in the tide pools of Monterey Bay. It was my favorite place to be and work, but I found myself way outside of that comfort zone working in Washington, D.C., after 9/11, as a congressional science fellow. I was a science advisor to Congresswoman Hilda Solis. And what I found was that I thought I would be valued for my knowledge of environmental science and that kind of thing, climate change, but there wasn't really a lot of that kind of environmental work going on in Congress at that time. And what there was a lot of obsession about security. And it was there in Washington, D.C., really far from my usual place of work and my comfort zone, where I had this realization that we were spending billions of new dollars on security, but we weren't making it adaptable at all. And that kind of put me back in the mode of thinking about my tide pools, which are constantly changing and always different every time I go out and see them. And I realized we were doing things exactly the same as we were ever doing them. We're just spending more on it. So I realized that there needed to be a connection made between security and adaptability, and that connection comes through biology, through every living thing, through the history of Earth has been adapting to change, adapting to uncertainty, and adapting to risk in its environment. So I knew that there were a lot of lessons there, but I needed to dig them out.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the more I read about what you're talking about and just listening to you now in person here, I get that, you know, we've always been adapting. You say in your book, you know, from the beginning of time, that you have you know, animals that were mammals that went into the ocean, that came back out, that went back and forth, and we're always adapting. We're sensing, it makes sense. This whole idea of looking at nature as a model for the things we do, even as bizarre as looking at nature on how to think about our national security.
Yeah, and from there, thinking about national security, I realized it started to apply to just about everything we do as humans, whether it's a business, so I talk to a lot of business groups now, or teaching, because every time you face a new classroom full of children, there's lots of uncertainty and lots of risk there, or even gardening. And I think you'll see in all of these areas, the key is exactly what you just said, sensing change in the environment. So I think you know that if you see people who have wonderful gardens, people who are really just seem to have a gift for growing things, there are also people who really understand the environment extremely well, and they have a really good sense of the changing weather patterns, what kind of year it's going to be. They don't get that because they're psychic. They get it because they've practiced over and over again the art of seeing and observing the world around you. And that's what I see across the board, whether I'm talking to teachers or talking to fighter pilots. the ones who are really good at observing the world around them and are constantly cataloging all this information become really good at adapting. And that's exactly what animals do. That's why animals, before the big tsunami in Asia several years ago.
And we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to cut you off, Rafe, because we're going to take a quick break, but we're coming right back. We're going to finish talking about this with those of you listening. Don't go away.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbaco Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbaco-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbaco Organics specialists. Be sure to order your free Arbaco Organics catalog.
It's time to kick some cash because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vaporit e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeSig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest is the acclaimed Dr. Rafe Sayrin, and he is the author, among all sorts of other things that he does, by the way, of two incredible books. I think the first book, Learning from the Octopus how secrets from nature can help us fight terrorism, natural disasters, and disease is absolutely phenomenal. It applies to everything in life. And the second book is called Observation and Ecology, Broadening the Scope of Science to Understand a Complex World. And one of the things that I wrote down, I was furiously taking notes because I think that what he has to say is really important. He says, adaptation applies to everything we do. The key is sensing change in our environment. Welcome back, Rafe.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm so sorry I had to cut you off. I was thinking that you were just about to finish, and I was just going to jump right in there and say we're going for a break, and then you got on a roll. So anyway,
well, that'll happen.
Oh, I know it does. I can tell because you're excited about your topic. But as you were leaving us, we were actually talking about the idea of how nature adapts to change. How and you were just beginning to talk a little bit about that, so I'm just going to let you continue.
Well, as I said, the key is observing change. Any change that happens, you have to have a really good system for observing it. For many natural systems, that system is decentralized. That is, it doesn't rely on a central brain or a central controller, but it relies on a lot of different agents out there looking for change. So you could think about our immune system, a bunch of cells running around our body looking for invaders. They don't have a lot of conference calls with the brain. They just go about doing their job. Now, they're part of our body, they serve our body, and they're served by us feeding the immune system, but they're independently looking for change and responding to it. Another thing that nature does to be adaptable is it uses a lot of redundant parts. And we in society tend to think of redundancy as wasteful. We're constantly talking about becoming more efficient. But in fact, nature, which is always stressed for resources, nonetheless uses a lot of extra parts. And that's basically a hedge against uncertainty. So all the way down to our genome, we have lots and lots and lots of extra pieces in our genome, but they're a hedge against the uncertainty in the world that we live in. So our kind of modern fascination with efficiency is really misplaced because it leaves us vulnerable to a lot of things that we just can't predict.
And that's the same with growing, when we're growing in the garden. I mean, one of the things we talk about is seed saving, for example. And we talk in seed savers class, for example, we're talking about, well, you just don't save certain seeds. You want to save all the seeds because in every one of those seeds is all of the genetic code for an amazing universe of opportunities. And so, when you think about how nature has adapted over the years, just think about how, just in your own garden, not even there, let's just talk about corn. Corn is something that came from the teosinte plant. It actually was a grass that had these little tiny nodules on it, and people, mainly women, for many, many, many years harvested it, and they found that the grass that had the bigger nodules, they would cross it and crossbreed it and crossbreed, and eventually we have what are ears of corn today. So isn't that amazing?
It's absolutely amazing, and what you say about seed saving is a perfect example of having a redundant hedge against
yes.
the uncertainty of the future.
Exactly. That's amazing. And give us some more examples, because I know in the book you do have some beautiful examples of the adaptability of nature and some things that we sort of take for granted, but when you put it together, there's a big aha that happens.
Well, yeah. Another major thing that nature does to adapt is all organisms recognize the limits of their own adaptability, and when they do, they reach out and form partnerships, and these symbiotic partnerships, as we call them in nature, are everywhere between every organism. There's no organism that is self-sufficient in any way. They all work together in some way. Symbiotic partnerships often have developed from relationships that used to be antagonistic. So organisms that used to be in conflict realize that they work better in cooperation. And then these symbiotic partnerships then can absolutely change the entire world. I mean, we can think about the partnership between legume plants and rhizobium bacteria that fix nitrogen. That's absolutely changed the face of the entire earth. And it's still something valuable, of course, in gardening today, is the fact that there are certain plants, because they have a relationship with a certain bacteria, can fix nitrogen, which otherwise isn't useful to biology. Now, we can see this in human endeavors as well, that I have friends who are helping to create partnerships, in one case between Israeli, Palestinian, and Jordanian doctors and health practitioners. They are all working together to reduce and treat and spot infectious diseases because they know that the biology trumps the politics. The diseases are going to kill them way before the politics. So they're working on a partnership that's based on a biological problem. And one important thing about these partnerships and about all of nature, which is kind of fun to realize, is that nature isn't about perfection in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing in nature that's perfect. Everything in nature just has to be good enough to reproduce itself. That's it. And these guys making this partnership in the Middle East, they're not trying to create peace in the Middle East. They're trying to solve a very important problem. And that's what's drawn them to work together. Now, this may be a step towards peace in the Middle East, but by not trying to do the perfect solution, but trying to solve a problem that's right in front of you, they're getting a lot more than, you know, these big government roadmaps to peace and that kind of thing that try to do everything at once.
Sort of, went through my head, though, as we were talking about, almost the spiritual side of that. What happens is when they begin to cooperate with one another, and I'm only talking, you know, just think about what happens in the body from the standpoint of hormones and endorphins, cephalons, valium, the things that make us feel good when we collaborate with others. You know, think about that. It, even though the ultimate goal is not to create peace, it's almost impossible not to create peace, because when people collaborate together and they create something called relationship, somehow that changes the whole environment. And I see why this whole idea of adaptability and adaptation is so important for just the working place. You can take it to your own home.
Absolutely. It's what scientists call emergent effects. They're the things that you wouldn't expect just by looking at the properties of individual pieces and adding them together. You'd never come up with what comes out when things work together. Now, early ecologists like Warder Ali at the University of Chicago in the 1920s and 30s were fascinated by the cooperation of nature. It was only later that we sort of got this idea that nature is all about fighting and survival of the fittest and all this kind of thing.
I'm going to cut you off again. Survival and fighting of the fittest. We're going to come right back and talk about that when we get back to the next break. I apologize, those of you listening. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. Genstone.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, which stands for Environmentally and Sustainably Yours. That name, Easy Organic Gardener, was given to me by my beloved father-in-law, Fritz, many, many years ago, and I like that he said it should be easy. Gardening is easy, especially when you make it fun. And my guest today is just amazing man. I hope you take the time to order his books, Octopus, How Secrets from Nature Can Help Us Fight Terrorism, Natural Disasters, and Disease, and Observation and Ecology, Broadening the Scope of Science to Understand a Complex World. And his name is Dr. Rafe Gardner. Welcome back, Rafe. Boy, I tell you, I'm listening like somebody listening on the radio, and next thing I know, we're going to break. I'm like, oh, darn. Say, come back to survival of the fittest, because I know you talk about that in the book, and how you say it's not about the survival of the fittest.
Yeah, so really all you have to do as a biological organism is be good enough to reproduce yourself. It's not about perfection. There's no way to measure perfection in nature. Is a great white shark a perfect predator? I don't know. It'd be better if it had laser beams in its eyes, but it doesn't. But it's a really good predator. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that biologists long ago knew and then sort of forgot is that nature is continually moving towards cooperation. Now, there's plenty of fighting and killing along the way, of course, but the overall pathway in nature throughout history has been, and that's billions of years of history, has been through increased cooperation among organisms to solve problems. And, you know, Werner Ali, this early ecologist I mentioned, did some very simple experiments to find things like this. For example, he would put individual goldfish in a bowl and expose them to a little silver toxin and see how much it took to kill the goldfish. But when he put goldfish in a bowl together, not in separate bowls, and exposed them to relatively the same amount of toxin, they didn't die. And what he saw was that in a group, they put forth this kind of mucus surrounding them, which protected them from the toxin, which they didn't do as individuals. So you could do that experiment a million times with individuals and think you know what would kill a goldfish, but it's this group power that they have, this emergent effect of working together. And it's like we talked about with the Middle East and these doctors working together and then realizing, hey, if we can work together peacefully on this, why can't we work together peacefully on other things? So this power of cooperation in nature is incredibly adaptive. And it's something that we can, as you mentioned, cue into in just about anything we do, whether it's homeland security or whether it's working in a business or working at a school. When we align our interests, which is why I teach in a completely different way now. I align what I want to get across to the students with what they want to learn, which doesn't happen when I predetermine a syllabus for them to learn, but happens when I ask them, what do you want to learn this semester? Let's go do it. And my classes are now completely designed by my students, and they're far more effective than they ever were because I'm using them as the agents of their own education rather than me, some central professor saying, this is what you have to learn. And anyone can do this in a business, in an organization, by setting free the power of everyone you have working with you.
I love the way you say that, because as a business owner, I'm always thinking about, well, you know, I think we're probably an unusual business model. I believe we very much follow what you're talking about. I mean, we collaborate within the group and ask them, you know, we have a goal to meet, and if we meet the goal, what would you like at the, you know, how does it look for you? Does everybody want to go out for lunch? Does everybody want to have movie tickets? I mean, it seems, you know, but however, along the way, we're also asking all the time, tell us what the customers are saying. How can we do better? What do we, you know, so we're collaborating all the time. I'm not sure that I can actually verbalize what's going on. It's something that happens energetically almost for us. And I love the way you're talking about this, because it really talks about how change can be affected in a much more loving fashion, much more respectful. So let's talk a little bit about you have something that you call ecological philosophy. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The early ecologists and biologists were all what we'd call naturalists. They are people who loved the natural world and went out and studied it, observed it extremely carefully, and then learned about its connections, its interconnections through that process. Somewhere in the 20th century, really with the rise of molecular biology, we got in this idea that science had to follow a particular formula. It's the scientific method that people of my generation were told in high school. This is how you do science. You develop a hypothesis, and you develop, you know, alternative tests of the hypothesis, and typically in a laboratory with controls, you study all these things. And what we're realizing now is that that method's fine for understanding some very small properties of the world, but when we want to understand things like climate change or the destruction of habitat and how that's affecting huge areas of the world, we can't do that in a laboratory. We can't do it in a little controlled setting. We can't replicate those effects, sometimes because it's not ethical to do so. But all these changes are happening to the world, and we want to understand them. So it's almost like we have to go back, and we are starting to go back as scientists, to those old days of discovery when you just went out and observed things and tried to figure out what was going on. Now, these days we have amazing new technologies to help us do that, from the molecular level to the planetary level, where we can look with satellite data at the whole world at once and see when spring is coming and see the earlier onset of spring, for example, in satellite pictures. And we can also use people who are observing the world who may not consider themselves scientists, but people like gardeners, people like birders, who can now contribute to all kinds of online databases. When did you see the first robin in spring, or did the first robin in spring never leave? When are you seeing whales migrate past your house in California? And people are putting all these data up on websites like the National Phenology Network or Project NOAA is one that my daughter uses. She takes photos of things she sees outside and puts them online, and people tell her, oh, yeah, that's this kind of snake or that's this kind of spider. And so people are able to share this information in a way that never could have been done before. So we're almost in a new era of discovery that's driven by the need to understand our changing planet, but facilitated by both amazing technologies and I'd say a much greater respect among scientists for people who may not have PhDs, for people who are not at the university, but nonetheless have what we call local ecological knowledge or traditional ecological knowledge. So people like fishermen or foresters or gardeners who spend so much time outside and understand things that many quote-unquote scientists in the laboratory or at the university don't really know. And we're starting to respect that knowledge in a new way.
Well, and we've got about a minute, so I'm sort of giving you the tip off. But this all ties into this idea of getting outdoors more often. You've talked about this topic. We need to be more outdoors. Tell us, what's your thought about that?
We just need to stop letting this rise of screen time replace forest time or outdoor time, because the only way to understand complex changing systems like our planet is to spend time out in them. A binary system like a computer and a screen can never replicate the complexity of nature, and that's how you train your brain to understand these changes.
Well put, and I couldn't agree more. I think that's something that we all need to do. We're going to come right back. And if you do have a question, you can give us a call at 877-300-7645. Our lines are open, and we're going to give you a free $25 gift certificate for calling in. Anyway, we're coming right back, so don't go away.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics Specialist. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vaporeon e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LERPs. Soldiers love LERP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LERPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joe Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. With me this hour is Dr. Rafe Segerin, and he is the author of two amazing books, one of which I really like the title, which is called... It is called, I'm getting to it right now, Learning from the Octopus, How Secrets from Nature Can Help Us Fight Terrorism, Natural Disasters, and Disease, an Observation and Ecology Broadening the Scope of Science to Understand a Complex World. And Rafe lives right here in Tucson, Arizona. He's a professor at the University of Arizona and just doing amazing things. One of the things that I thought about, Rafe, I'm welcoming you back, is that in our garden and farms, we are always adapting. I wrote this down before the show this morning, even though it's just something that kind of hit me last night. But, you know, our seeds, our seeds that we have collected, and they are adapted to be planted in the right terroir. We know that some plants need more water, some need less water, so we group our plants together. Our pH, the pH we're always adapting to, because we know that some plants do better in a soil that's more acid. There are plants that do better in a neutral soil, and so we're always adapting, and we're looking at trapping, so that we're always observing. I mean, one of the best ways to observe is obviously just being out there in the garden, and yet traps are really important because you can monitor and see what the heck you have out there, and also they can be used for trapping and looking at what's going on out there, the beneficial insects, the bees, the pollinators. It's important that our soil it's not treated like dirt. It's not some place for the root to hang out in. It's actually a place for that's the life-giving source to our plants, and so the better we take care of our soil, we're always adjusting the soil and adding in the microorganisms. And so this is we are never not adapting when we're gardening, and I really love that that's what these books are about, and how we take that whole philosophy and then take it into our homes, into our businesses. It becomes a way of life.
Absolutely.
Yes. So tell us, we've got just, this is our last little segment, and I want to be sure we get your message out. There are a couple of things that I'm curious about, and I guess what I really want you to do, I'd like you to focus just for a little bit on the books, just for a minute, because I think it's really important. Tell us why people want to read these books, and you know, anything you want to talk about as far as the books are concerned.
Well, you know, the books are a lot of fun because as a scientist, I'm often constrained to write scientific papers, which have a very strict format and very strict kind of limits on what you can say and not say. And as I wrote the books, I realized I could write them just like I talk, just by telling stories. And the books are told in the stories not only of the plants, animals, bacteria, and viruses that teach us about adaptation, but also the people that taught me about adaptation as people. So I have the story in there. One of the people who was most valuable in writing both of these books is a scientist named Gary Vermeij, who's one of the most amazing naturalists I've ever met. He studies fossils. He can identify any fossilized marine organisms and tell you how they lived and where they lived and what they are. But he's been blind since he was 3 years old. So he really thinks about adaptation, but in the other book, Observation and Ecology, he comes into play because he teaches us how little we utilize our other senses besides our eyes actively. And this person, since an early age, literally sees with his fingers, and he can touch a shell and tell you things about it that you barely can see yourself. So he lets us know that there's so much room for us to expand our senses. And I have stories from young Marine captains back from Iraq and Afghanistan and how they had to be adaptable. And I have stories of a virologist who came out of East L.A. to become one of the leading virologists in the country at UC Irvine, and how his experience growing up in this community in East L.A. really affected what he understands about how viruses and bacteria evolved with one another and in conflict with one another. So every human story in there relates to a biological story, which relates back to our human story about how do we adapt to the various the challenges that we face. And like I say, the book takes a lot of examples from terrorism and natural disasters, but they can be applied to anywhere where we're living with risk and uncertainty in our world. And I think all of us have a certain degree of uncertainty and risk in our world that we want to be able to adapt to.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I said before, and I mean, gardening is a perfect example, and you also brought it up, of how we are adapting, always adapting. And this whole idea of observation, just taking the time to, you know, watch what the ants are doing, taking the time to watch what the pollinators are doing, taking the time to see what the birds are doing, what's going on out there. We live on 10 acres. We're fortunate enough to have a lot of land. And for me, it's like living at the desert museum, you know, just looking at your own backyard. And yet, you know, even in our garden, of course, it's the amazing things going on. Of course, we grow insects for a living. And so that's a, you know, we've been doing it for about over 30 years. And so we never stop learning from those darn bugs, you know, Rafe. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And if I have time for a quick story,
sure.
I work at University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 now, which was once a field experiment to look at how to maintain whole ecosystems. Well, when they first built it, and a guy who was building it just told me this a couple nights ago, when they first built it, there were still leaks in this massive greenhouse, and they couldn't figure out where. And one day he was out looking around, and a maintenance worker came up to him and said, "Hey, look at this." And he showed him a line of ants that was going all the way up this huge biosphere greenhouse. And he said, "Let's watch those ants." And he watched the line of ants go all the way up, and they found where the ant line went all the way back down inside. And then from that point on, they used the ants to tell them where the biosphere was leaking, because the ants were coming from the Sonoran Desert outside and going to get all that food that was being grown inside the biosphere. And so everywhere they went where there were ant trails, they found that's where there's a leak in the biosphere.
Talk about species that can adapt. Ants are, I mean, we could have a whole show just on ants. I'll tell you, they are amazing. I mean, you know, they are driven. And what a great way of finding out, you know, how things are, how the leaks are coming in. Since we're talking about the biosphere, because that was going to be my last question, what are you doing there? Tell us about your new project.
Well, I have this great new project where I'm up at the biosphere, and we have this ocean, this huge ocean biome that used to be a coral reef. But it was very hard to grow a coral reef under the glass. And so I'm renovating the coral reef to represent, completely changing it over to represent the Gulf of California, which is the closest ocean to our Sonoran Desert in southern Arizona. And I want to show people how tightly connected the desert and the sea are, because when I tell people I'm at the University of Arizona and I'm a marine biologist, they always laugh and they say, what is a marine biologist doing in the desert? But our particular desert, the Sonoran Desert, which is so biologically rich, is completely connected to this Gulf of California ocean. It controls our rain. It's connected culturally to us, and biologically we share the same species. So I want to show our visitors to Biosphere that there's this amazing connection between this amazing sea and all the animals that live in it and the desert that's right outside the Biosphere.
I love that idea. And we happen to have two little casas in Kino Bay, Mexico. And so I so agree with what you're doing. I think it's a great idea. And we've got about a minute. What would you like to say to our listeners?
Well, I just want to say I'm sure that many of your listeners already feel this way, that, if you really want to learn how to adapt, you can take all the lessons in my book, Learning from the Octopus, but really the way you learn it is you get outside and you intensely observe the world around you, that complex, beautiful world of nature, and that's how you really get the skills to be an adaptable person.
I love it. You're absolutely correct. The more we hang with nature, the better we feel, the more peaceful we become, the more connected we feel. There is no disconnect. As you said, there is no organism that does not depend on other organisms. And thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Our hats off to you, and we'll be staying in touch.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And for those of you who are listening, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful guest next week. I wish every one of you a wonderful Easy Organic Gardening Week. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry, environmentally and sustainably yours.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.